We were five and they all left. That song we did in the morning for Sabbath school. As always, whenever I get opportunity to be up here, I can't fail to promote Sabbath school. Sabbath school is the time the church is in study. Sabbath school is the time we can share with one another. At this time, it will be a one way. It will be me speaking and you listening. But at Sabbath school time, we have the opportunity to share with one another. So that's why I always promote Sabbath school. How I wish this church was full at 9:15. When we had a song service, it was beautiful. Then we had study, law of review. It was beautiful as well. Then we had classes where we reviewed the lesson for the week. And I hope in our classes we were blessed. So, I would encourage us, come next week, if the Lord still permits us, to be walking on this earth, to be at Sabbath school. Bring that which you learn throughout the week to Sabbath school. Share it with your fellow brothers and sisters, and the Lord will bless us. The only thing which did not happen, I would have wished that the elder introduced or welcomed the pulpit team. But for some reason, we usually don't do it here. We welcome the congregation, but those up on the pulpit usually get forgotten. This morning we were served by, on this side was Brother Ray, who read the scripture. And for those of us, or for those of you who are guests, if you go by the bulletin, the name on the bulletin is not the person who gave the offertory call, because Bianca wasn't there. The sister who served is Laura Lai. And at the end was Brother Andrew Constable, who gave the pastoral prayer. And the elder was Elder Marie Jules. Why do I say this? If you look at my heading, Adventism, who am I or who are you? And when I sent my name to the bulletin team, I gave the official name as stated in the church logbook. So if you go by this one, it's also known as. So the full name as I sent it would have read Stephen O.A. Odhiambo. That is what's in the church logbook. I want it to be official today in that way, so that when we look at things, when the record is taken, and when you are asked, who are you? Do we really know who we are? As Adventists, and the question I'll ask before I proceed, for those of us, or for those of you who are guests, if you happen not to be an Adventist, don't be afraid. We are not going to say anything which is not in the scriptures. So if you are not an Adventist, still the Bible speaks to you. And what we are going to learn this morning is what the Bible expects of each and every Christian. I was looking at the review and something caught my eyes. I started preparing on this talk like 2.5 weeks ago. I had not seen the review, and at the end of the review, they gave us a brief review of this movement, or a brief history of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And the book which was given there is Matthew 28:19. But if you check, if you know our history, you take us back all the way to 1517. And those students of history or Bible history knows what happened in the year 1517. And that is when Luther had a problem with his superiors. And we know what Luther did. And then out of that movement, you come to 1822 and you find William Miller and the Millerite movement. But it took time to bring it down to 1844, when the Millerite Adventists had the great disappointment. Then you add there 18 years, and that brings you to, or rather, put it to 1845, when the Bible study was encouraged, and these people continue to study, but until 1863 is when this movement became into being, when we were organized officially as a group, as a church. Then you move way, way down, and something which has got a lot of interest to me. It moved quickly. These few fellows were so faithful to their newfound faith that it didn't take long for the few Adventists to organize themselves, to raise money, and to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire known world. That by 1903, you find the first Adventist missionary reach Tanzania, that is in East Africa, just next to my home country, Kenya. And by 1910, Adventism was in Kenya. Who are you? Who am I? Do we still hold the word of God, which he has given us, as something valuable, or do we take our position for granted and think that someone else will do the work that the Lord has entrusted you and me with? With that said, let's bow for prayer. Gracious and loving Father, what in heaven, we thank you for this moment you've given us to gather together in your presence. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. Bless our quiet time together this morning. And Father, when we leave here, may we be able to say, it was good to be in the presence of God. This be our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. Usually, most of my sermons, whenever I got an opportunity, are usually centered around salvation. So when I took this detour, it became rather difficult. I prepared and I kept on crossing things out to the point that I do not even know what I will present this morning. Because until the time I was sitting here, I kept on changing stuff around. This message has to be preached to the entire world in my generation or in this generation. Whose motto is that? Not word by word. Speak to me. Adventists. The next question I'll ask before I start. Do we know something in this church called business meeting? Do we attend business meeting?
Yes.
Truly, do we attend business meeting? Let's be faithful. How many attended the last one called in this church? One. I see two. I see three. I see four, five, six. So, it seems church board is well attended than church business meeting. And yet we wonder why we don't have the power to move around. Because in church business meeting is where we discuss the development of the entire church. So next time the business meeting is called, Adventists, attend church business meeting and ask your leaders, or share with your leaders what you want to be done in your church, so that the work of God can move at the pace which He wants it to go. So let's go back. Too many Adventists are considered as an occult. Too many, we are just like any other evangelical group. Yet to some, we are difficult to figure out. But to you and me, whom do we consider ourselves to be? It is not what others think of us, which is a problem. Rather, it is whom we think we are, which might be a problem. Adventists used to be known, and I hope we are still known, as people of the book. All that we teach, all that we do, have to come from the scriptures. Yes, we can use other aids, but the foundation, the core of our message, has to come from the Holy Scriptures. For we are safe the moment we ground our study and our sermons on the Holy Word of God. No one can question the Word of God. All which we do may be questioned, but nothing that comes out of the mouth of God through the prophets and the biblical writers can be questioned. So this morning we'll take a few imperatives, a few essential things which can help us to identify who we are, and who we are ought to be what we do. We cannot afford to be nominal Christians. We cannot take this message, this beautiful message which God has given us, and then put it under the table, expecting someone else to come and finish the work. So I'll use these 5 or 6 points to clarify who we are or what we ought to be. And number one will be action. Number two will be boldness. Number three will be exercising love. Number four will be different. Number five, combined with six, will be the jail that make a difference. And that is real faith and obedience. Why action? Adventists believe, from the formation of this movement, that they were given a special message to share with the world. And if this be true, then we must act upon it. We must go around our neighborhoods. In fact, we have to start with our families. This is where the battle has to be won. If you read the Adventist history, nothing was sacred more than family worship. How is family worship in your families today? Starting from your physical family at home, moving to your family here. Yes, we call each other brothers and sisters, but do we mean it? Does our action show it that we are brothers and sisters? Or do we just talk for the sake because we've heard it so many times? So as Adventists, we have to be active in the service of our fellow man, active in the vineyard of our Redeemer. We cannot be active, or our action will not be of any meaning unless and until we constantly go down on our knees in prayer and supplication, asking for the power of the Holy Spirit, which God promised that He will give to those who ask liberally. And then we have the power of the Holy Spirit. Our message will have power. There'll be no contradiction between what we say and that which we do. And when those two gel together, many again will be attracted to our message. This church remains to be one of the fastest growing, but if we can test God, the Bible says, try me, and then you will see if I will not pour the blessings to the point that you will press it, and yet still it will overflow if you go to Malachi. I say we are a people of the book, but for some reason, today I do not want to give these verses verse by verse, because sometimes we give them, but nowadays again, we don't take notes, so there is no meaning. So as an Adventist, as I'm going, put your brain to work and see, where is that text taken to, or where can I get that one? You see, in the song, Dare to be a Daniel, we are asked to have a purpose, firm, and to make it known. Do you have a purpose, firm, and do you make it known? We meet people all the time. They might want to know what's going on. You have the answer, but do you feel it in your DNA to share that which you have with that person whom you might only see for once? The opportunity might not come twice. But each and every moment, God brings people in our lives. And if we have a purpose, and we ask God to help us make it known, God will bring that person to your life, and it will be a blessing not only to the person, but also to you when you share the message of Jesus Christ with the dying world. You see, Jericho did not fall because of physical weaponry. Jericho fell because of obedience. If you check in Joshua chapter 6, and we know what God told Joshua to tell the children of Israel. And when they did exactly what God said to be done, on the seventh day, after the seven times going round Jericho, Jericho fell. We have battles still raging around us. And if Adventists can only trust God, in obedience move forward and share this love with the rest of the world, the walls of Jericho around us will fall, not because we are mighty in war, but because we are serving a mighty God. Boldness. Why must an Adventist be bold? You see, no coward can serve in the army of God, which means no coward will gain heaven. To gain heaven, we must be bold. Because the moment we make our election sure that we stand for Jesus, the enemy will direct all darts towards us. And if we are not bold, will be felled by the enemy's dart. But the Bible again tells me, in many books, so many people who stood firm in the face of danger. The Bible talks of Moses in front of Pharaoh. The Bible talks of Daniel in front of Nebuchadnezzar. The Bible talks of David in the face of Goliath. The Bible talks of the true Hebrew boys in the furnace. They stood firm. They did not waver. Why must we? The gospel of Jesus must be preached in boldness. We cannot afford to water this narrative or take other narratives which may seem popular and less contradictory and less dangerous. We must take the word of God as given in the Holy Scriptures, and God will bless those who receive his word. You see, I'm amazed at what the power of the Holy Spirit can do. And always this book comes to mind. You remember Peter being accused. He followed Jesus at the trial. And Peter was accused by not one, not two, but three. And every time Peter denied and said, no, I don't know you. I do not know that person. But just after the Pentecost, you find Peter again in front of danger. That time there was just but a young girl talking about Peter being one of them, and Peter said no. But you jump to the book of Acts, and you find now Peter facing these people boldly and telling them, Peter and John, before the council, what did they say? They did not care for their lives at that time, for now they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. So how much do we seek this power to fill us so we can go out in boldness and share this gospel which Christ has entrusted us with? You see, Adventists used to believe, and I still believe, we still do believe, that we have a pure message which must be preached to this world in this generation. As nowadays they say it, in my generation. We cannot look for others to finish the work which God has given us. We must work when there is still time to work. For the night is coming when work cannot be done. So this is the time Adventists must step forward in boldness and share the love of Christ with the rest of the world. We cannot be active, we cannot be bold, unless we exercise this in love. But you know, the enemy is very cunning, and today, more than any other time, love is used so often to step away from telling the truth about or talking about things which might be controversial. If we find that a topic is a little loaded, it doesn't matter whether it's biblical or not. Just say that, you know, because of love, I cannot do that. But that does not deny us from exercising love. As an Adventist, do I use love to avoid my responsibility, or do I use love to do my responsibility? The word of God must be preached in love. As Adventists, our message cannot be in a manner that it might be confused to be either judgmental or watered down. We must daily go to the foot of the cross and ask God to fill us, because unless we are filled, we won't be able to share. You see, sometimes we might think that we have too much, but how can we have too much if we share? It cannot happen. The only reason why sometimes Adventists feel that they've been told too much is because we don't share. But the moment we receive and we give, there will be always space to receive more. So how much do you share? How much do you share this love with those you come into contact with? God is coming, or Jesus is coming pretty soon, sooner than we first believed. But you know, if we do not share this love, we won't be able to answer Jesus when he comes back. And you know, Adventists, this parable of that those fellows who are given talents, how they used them, and how the judgment was made. I hope we are not the one who received one and decided to hate it. I hope we are those who multiplied that which they were given. They shared and they brought back the profit to the owner. God will ask us when he comes, what did you do with my time? What did you do with my blessings? And I hope we'll be able to say, Lord, this is what I did with what you gave to me. We are moving along. I think we are going to be on time today. And the arrangement is not as bad as I thought it would be. I thought I would lose most of my thought process, but thank God, so far so good. So, here is a point where most Adventists struggle the most. Being different. Must Adventists be different? Are we different? Adventists will give you all kind of answers. But if you just go to the book of 1 Peter 2:9, what does it say?
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness
into his marvelous light. So is a Christian different? Is an Adventist Christian different? If you are peculiar, if you are a chosen person, are you different from the rest? If we still believe that this message which we are given is different, is peculiar, then how can we afford not to be different and peculiar? The only problem sometimes is that we use our difference to stay away from people. Our difference should endear us to the people. Our difference should make us be willing to go where there is darkness to share the light of Jesus Christ. It should be a burden in the minds and hearts of each and every Adventist to feel different and to feel the urge to go and share the love of Jesus Christ. You see, I will ask us a question again. How many of us own a church manual or are aware there is something called a church manual? I see bold hands up. I hope those who did not raise their hands are surely aware that we have one like that. Because there, it breaks down this movement, the groupings, the departments, and that which we believe in. But you see, so often, we do not read this. We do not make use of these resources in our church. To the point that the last time I checked, today non-Adventists study the lesson more than Adventists do. Today non-Adventists study the writings of Sister White more than the Adventists do. Today non-Adventists are beginning to believe in our doctrine more than we do. So how can we still claim to be different if we've lost that which made us different? It is a time Adventists have to go back and retrace our roots. We always talk about the thesis, the 95, nailed by Luther in Wittenberg, Germany. But today, if our pioneers were to walk in our churches, would they nail 100 complaints as to how far we veered from the Word of God? But worse still, if Jesus were to return today, will we be found amongst the chosen, or will we be standing out of the gate? There is a song which used to be in the old books. I don't know why it's not appearing nowadays. The door is ajar. I checked the church hymnal, it's not there. But in other books, it is there. And let me see if I have it in this other book I have here. And read for you just a couple stuff on it, which may summarize why, if we do not embrace our difference, we might find ourselves in a very dangerous situation. It should be, the door is left ajar. But before I go there, there was another song. I hope you know it. It says, "Master, the tempest is raging, the billows are tossing high, the sky is overshadowed with blackness, no shelter or help is nigh. Carest thou not that we perish? How carest thou asleep?" And we know when the disciples thought that Christ did not care, Christ knew exactly what he was doing. And that's why we have to be willing to share the love of Christ with the rest of the world. Listen to the words of this song. "There is a gate that stands ajar, and though its portal gleaming, a radiance from the cross afar, a Savior love revealing. O depth of mercy, can it be? That gate was left ajar for me, for me, for me, was left ajar for me. That gate ajar stand free for all who seek through its salvation, the rich and the poor, the great and the small, of every tribe and nation. Press onward then, though force may frown, while mercy gate is open, accept the cross and win the crown, love everlasting token. The gate is still ajar. Adventists must preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, for soon the gate will be closed. And you know, no one will enter but through the gate. So if anyone whom I was supposed to preach the gospel to is left out, would it be my fault that I did not use the opportunity God gave me to share his love with those I come into contact with? Real faith and grace. All this which we do, coming to church, sharing our alms with others, if we do not have real faith in Jesus Christ, if we do not believe that that blood which was shed on Calvary is able to remove sin. If we do not believe that Jesus Christ is coming soon to take home his own, then all that we do is all but in vain. As Adventists, we should not have any problem reconciling the law of God and his faith. The law, grace, and faith ought to bring us no contradiction. For the law of God is just. The law of God is his character. We won't be able to misapply one thing in the wrong place. Because if we read the Bible, we will find the first two chapters of the Bible, all is well. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2, all is well. You get into Genesis 3, trouble. Trouble arises. And between Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 21, trouble is given, but hope is also given. We find God's amazing grace between the pages from Genesis 3 all the way to Revelation 21. God's grace is proclaimed. But we come to 21 of Revelation and we find again all is well. For a new earth is being recreated. So you see, God was never different from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. What changed was only humanity. God is constant. God's love never changed. Which means God's character in Genesis chapter 1 is the same as God's character in Revelation 22. But humanity, as we find between 3 of Genesis to Revelation 20, is different because sin came into being. So this is why we have to preach this real faith in Jesus Christ, the only one who remains constant in our lives. All around you will fail you or may fail you. The only one who will never fail you is Jesus Christ. So lean to him. The Bible says that lean not unto your own understanding. Because we always complain about people failing us. But how many times do we fail ourselves? I think more than others fail us. But the only one who will never, never fail us is Jesus Christ. So as Adventists, if we lean onto Jesus and come to him in prayer daily and study his word daily and share with others daily, he will bring us strength. And where there is confusion, God will bring us clarity. As Adventists, wherever we are, our difference has to show, not in a negative way, but in a positive way. People should be drawn towards us because they see something in us. But you know what? If salt loses its flavor, it loses the power to either flavor or to preserve, it's of no use. So an Adventist who does not reach out to the world to share the world of Jesus is just but like salt, which has lost its power, which will be just thrown out and will be stamped underfoot. So let us reach out. Let us not come to church, listen to sermons, sing songs, go back home and sit. Let us come to be renewed or refilled. Go out and share and come back empty so you can take more. That is what God is asking of us. I hope as an Adventist we'll have a renewed vigor to move forward. I know we have a couple of activities going on in this church and a couple of them going on in the world. If you feel that your church is not doing enough, just go and look at how much the world church is doing. And you will know that the 15 million plus Adventists, or the 20 now almost there in the world, are doing a lot. And they can do way, way much better if we go back and take the Word of God as our only source of instruction. And as soldiers, take it everywhere we go. If you are traveling, make sure you have your Bible with you. I found it to be quite amazing, stuck in a 13-hour flight, and you have your Bible with you. You can watch the movies in the plane or listen to the music as much as you want. But if you have your Bible with you, you will spend that time, that quiet time, you will enjoy it. Before you know, you'll be landing 20 hours thereafter. So let us embrace the Word of God and share it daily. If not so, we are just coming to the close of this discussion or talk. And the song will do as the last will be song number 306, I believe. But those who are interested in knowing where those verses came from, you can check Revelation 22:12, Exodus 19:5-6, 1 Peter 2:9, Ephesians 2:7, Exodus 19:20. Song number 306.